This is Ron Shaw calling the Appropriations Committee meeting September 13th, scheduled for 12:30, current time is 12:42. Now calling the meeting to order, roll call.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Maker. Congressman Norris.
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Congresswoman Pratt. Congressman Shaw.
Here.
Heavenly Father, we ask your divine help and intervention today in whatever way is best for Osages, Father. We come to you. We want to try to iron out our differences, Father, and make the right decision, Father. We can't do that without your help, Father. So we ask for that help now. Amen.
Amen.
First item on the agenda is ONCA 16-101, an act to authorize and appropriate, continue the appropriation for the car charging, you're ready to go here. So, yeah, let's just do our housekeeping here. Minutes of September 6th, here for your approval. Chair, entertain a motion for changes or approval.
To that meeting, so we came out with one.
Is that the correct date? September 6th was the second day of session. Last.
It was the first day of session. September 6th.
First day of session. So.
Yeah, it was the wrong date. Maybe the wrong minutes got stuck in here.
Chair, entertain a motion to.
Because it was the.
The clerk to research the minutes. And
I need to postpone the approval of minutes.
Okay.
And I don't really know if September 6th is a correct
right.
day.
I think it's the 9th.
Until we can get further research.
Chair's been made to postpone approval of the minutes and to check the right date and to get a revised set of minutes for approval. Is there any discussion? All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Opposed say no. Postpone. 1601, an act to authorize and appropriate continuing appropriation for the operation of unfunded Osage Nation government entities at the appropriation rates authorized for fiscal year 2016 until fiscal year 2017 appropriations are approved and achieved for approval by veto override to establish an alternate effective date. I'm the sponsor. I will yield to the Vice Chairwoman Whitehorn.
Yes, sir. I will. We're going to start with the consideration of ONCA 1601, which is to authorize appropriation or continuing appropriation.
Yeah.
And Congressman Shaw, you are the sponsor, and I will let you.
Thank you. As you may recall, we have talked to this committee during our time previous to this meeting about notion of a continuing resolution. I call your attention to the fact that this is actually a bill, not a resolution, although it's equivalent to what we this frequently refer to as a continuing resolution, with the goal to be a measure undertaken to be, or by law, to fund Osage Nation government entities if we do not have an appropriation bill that's authorized as of October 1st for any or all, depending on what the case may be at that time. We had undertaken that because, remember I mentioned this morning that we had a stalled start, slow start, and it may be necessary for us to have some additional time to prepare and pass out annual budgets. Don't know that for sure. It's not a deliberate attempt to delay. But on the other hand, October 1st comes on us pretty fast, and with a slower start and still not having the information, I feel like we needed to have legislation in place that would allow the government to continue with adequate funding. I think that, as far as I know, there were no government programs that came to a screeching halt in the last year based on the 2016 appropriations. And so they were all able to carry on their activities, presumably to a satisfactory conclusion. We were certainly available for any budget modifications or supplemental appropriations. We addressed those that were presented to us. So this is the bill, the legislation that seeks to do that. And so I present that for the committee's consideration, as referred to us by the speaker. I know the executive branch is here. Is this your document?
Yes, sir. Okay.
And has presented
a copy
for the committee. It's been stamped in today by the clerk. And so I think. Congressman Baker's not here, so.
Can we make copies for the members that aren't on the committee? Well, it's unconstitutional on its face.
Did you get the, you got a copy?
I'll have to just read the first sentence.
Okay. All right, how would you like to proceed? Do you have any questions or opening comments? Would you like to hear from the executive branch regarding the document? I mean, we have talked about this as a brand new notion. You might have issues with the current language, how it's drafted, or you may want to go right to the objection to the executive that's reported. Congresswoman Edwards?
So having just looked at this for 1 second, it looks to me like the executive branch does not want us to go on with the continuing resolution. Is that a fair assessment?
That would be a fair assessment.
Object to it, I guess it's another.
So back on to, let's get our work done. I mean, I understand what you, we have done this before, and we have operated under continuing resolution before once, and the pitfalls I see this time are there needs to be a decision made as to whether, by this Congress, as to whether we are going to pass along the shortfall in the claims fund to the individual employees as well as the nation, other than a one-time payment, which is what we've done in the past when we had a shortfall in the claims fund. I don't think that that's, I mean, right now it seems that it's put into the benefit section of these budgets, which means every single committee could come up with a different approach, which I'm not in favor of. I was hoping the Appropriations Committee would address that with the administration and find out why they're proposing that we do it that way.
Well, we've received information regarding where these amounts come from, what the extent was for each individual employee. And also, historically, the benefit section has a strong tendency to be underspent each year for lots of reasons. One of them is that some people like not to take the benefits, some or all of the benefits. And so my recollection is for the last 2 years that the benefit section has been underspent. My projection would be for this first month, and I can't imagine us going without more than a month with the continuing resolution, if possible, that would be sufficient. Just 1 month extended benefits. But why don't we hear what the objections are articulated by Assistant Chief. Would that be suitable right now?
Certainly.
Okay. Assistant Chief, could you present your document, please? We've got it here in front of us, so.
Madeline.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
Madam Chair.
Sorry.
Thank you. I did not bring a copy of the bill.
Call me by my bills.
Okay.
Yeah, perhaps I should get it. Excuse me.
Madam Chairwoman, you're still at the my problem.
glad the clerk has saved the paper by not making me a giant binder that I do have to remember to bring copies of the bills. I appreciate the opportunity to address the committee. The reason the first sentence reads, "The entire bill is unconstitutional on its face," is because it contains no appropriations. The decision standing bear versus Whitehorn said, "For the line item veto authorization to have any meaning, appropriation laws must only include appropriations." There are no numbers in this bill, and it only has conditions and restrictions. So we think that alone would be a fatal flaw in the bill, denying the principal chief the ability to exercise line item veto power. So that's fairly self-explanatory. Section 3A of the bill, I'm not going to bother to read it. I'm going to read our comments, and if we want to go into detail, I'm happy to. The existence of an unfunded Osage Nation government entities as defined in the bill makes the bill conditional. It doesn't go into effect unless there are unfunded Osage Nation government entities. That only occurs if Congress fails to pass an annual bill for each division for that fiscal year. And the conditions, according to the Supreme Court, have to be unconstitutional. The reason we believe it's unconstitutional, the condition is unconstitutional, is because the Constitution requires exactly what I just said. They have to do a budget for each branch for each fiscal year. If you do a continuing appropriation, what you've done is appropriate a set amount for 2 years, not 1 year, or at minimum a term longer than for 1 year. This is kind of a side note, we decided to go ahead and put this in here because we think it may be an issue in the future. The law repeatedly uses the term authorization and continuing appropriation. We find no basis in the Osage Constitution, in Osage law, or rule for those terms. We have in the past seen the term authorization used a lot here. I've seen it used a little bit ago. I went and did some research into the origin of that term as it's used in federal law. And the entire concept of authorization is embedded in the rules of the Senate and the rules of Congress. And unless there's been a change I'm not aware of, which happens from time to time, there is no rule regarding an authorization. It's a term that's used, but it has no basis in law or in rule. Section 3B1 is labeled a restriction. We believe it's an unconstitutional restriction because it purports to create an appropriation that's not for some certain. If you will recall in Standing Bear versus Whitehorn, the court said, and we note on footnote 24 here, "We completely reject Congress's argument that it's not required to appropriate in sums certain," this argument this body made before the court. "An appropriation law that does not specify a sum certain places all funded entities in the untenable position of not knowing whether they have the funds necessary to function." The 1/12th restriction is in no way an annual budget that a program can rely on going forward. And as I'm sure this body experienced, I certainly experienced when we experimented with a 1/12th provision before, it is not a flat month-to-month expenditure over the executive branch. Some contracts come due, some payments come due, and having a 1/12th restriction is, we already know, is unworkable.
Can I say something there? Also,
Are you okay?
I'm sure. Also, I'd like to say there, too, that our revenue sources are not predictable either when they come in. So, I mean, if you want to say that about expenditures, you can also say that about income. So, I just wanted to make that point.
To close out that one, the 1/12th restriction is not a sum certain. In any case, actually, there are no sums in this bill at all. Turning to the backside for Section 3C. Section 3C is a restriction and a non-constitutional. Congress does not define activity. Reading from the bill, no appropriation of funds made available or authority granted pursuant to subsection A shall be used to initiate or resume any activity for which appropriations were not authorized, or you should say appropriations were not made, or available during fiscal year 16. That is very problematic language in our view. We're not sure how Congress can say you can't change any lawful activity, which under accounting rules you cannot spend. You could have spent this year, but you cannot spend them last year if you did not do them last year. Any number of activities, undertakings, projects, I mean, it's just really, we couldn't, if we didn't have a soccer meet last year or soccer camp last year, we can't have a soccer camp this year. If we didn't have a basketball camp, you can see where I'm going with that. One moment while I find my place again. Section 3D, the provisions of this section exemplify why the bill is unconstitutional. It makes necessary other new actions to balance the books. When the Osage Constitution says pass an annual appropriation of operating funds for each branch of government for each fiscal year, combined with the sum certain requirements of Standing Bear versus Whitehorn. On Section 3E, the language of the section undermines any notion that the appropriation is for a sum certain. The language is vague to the point of unenforceability. The reading from the law, the proposed law, the act should be implemented only so that the most limited funding action of that permitted in the applicable fiscal year 2016 appropriation acts shall be taken in order to provide for continuing operation of the unfunded Osage government entities. We are assuming, probably correctly, that this is an instruction for the treasurer. It's kind of hard to decide who it's not an instruction for. If it isn't an instruction for the treasurer, we just went through this in Standing Bear versus Whitehorn, where the court said congressional appropriation laws cannot delegate to Congress the power exercised by another branch and cannot delegate a congressional power to another branch. This section would seem to say that the treasurer can say, X is the most limited function of this particular department or this particular division. We believe the court clearly pointed out that and this is a verbatim quote from the decision, any change to that amount requires legislative action. It can't, as I think everyone understands, the treasurer cannot move that up and number up and down to meet the requirements of this law. It's supposed to be a sum certain, and only Congress can move that number up and down. So that concludes our analysis. We appreciate the time. I'm happy to take any questions if there are
any. Any questions for Assistant Chief Whitehorn? Congressman Shaw?
The sum certain has been a recurring objection here, citing language in Standing Bear versus Whitehorn. If there were a sum certain place, some calculation, an amount, regardless of how it was calculated, but it's some certain purposes of discussion that was approximately equal to 1/12 of the total appropriation from last year. And there were no line item restrictions, just an amount. It would require a change of language to the bill. So the only limitation or restriction is not by language in the bill, it's simply the amount or the sum that some certain that's placed in it. Does that help relieve any concern?
I'll answer the question this way. a budget should look like a budget. And it should have no other substantive provisions in the budget except the numbers. That's what the Supreme Court clearly said.
Congressman Shaw.
The notion that the Congress shall pass an annual budget, I don't think anyone argues or disputes that. We're all familiar with that language. I don't know that there's not a restriction for other shorter-term budgets as long as that annual budget gets approved. I'm not seeing that there's a deadline. I don't see October 1st listed in there. I don't see that October 15th or October 2nd is an issue or violates any of the language that was in standing where it was required. It would seem that exactly feels like any other date than the 1st is not an annual budget. Any other funding mechanism is not an annual budget, even if an annual budget is forthcoming. Is that your position?
A partial year budget, we feel, would violate the Constitution.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Just curious, before we get deeper into discussion, who wrote this?
Do you have any questions?
And for what it's worth, I'm sorry, could I complete that? I know I should. I wrote it, and Chief reviewed it, and our legislative writer reviewed it, and a couple of other staff members reviewed it.
Okay, thank you.
Congressman Walker.
Well, Assistant Chief, I'm not disputing the constitutionality of the present, the continuing resolution. Rather, pointing out that this was done in an attempt, which has been done once before and almost another time, to make sure that the operations of the government don't cease if we fail to pass a constitutionally mandated budget, right? So, not really asking you to tell us what to do, but has there been another way of doing this discussed in the executive branch that would prevent a constitutionality dispute?
No.
So the executive branch is maintaining that the
end of September, without a budget, becomes problematic. I think there was some point in the past, prior to Standing Bear versus Whitehorn, that there was a action by the treasurer, I believe it was Ms. Catcher, where she was kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. Do I pay bills or do I not pay bills? And it was just for a very short period of time, if memory even is serving me properly. There is a clause in the Treasury bill that allows her to not let disaster strike. I do believe that the failure of Congress to pass a budget would be disruptive in every sense of the word.
So, well, based on that, then it would appear that not the only other option, but another option for Congress would be to simply pass out a total appropriation, which doesn't direct or any of the other things listed in there, just simply have one total number as an operating budget amount. And then once the dust settled and any subpoenas, the appeal process and all of that, then we could consider repealing that and passing out a group of division budgets. Does that sound?
Our legislative writer believes strongly that, and I have not done the research she has done, but believes strongly that you don't repeal appropriations, generally speaking. Back to the language used by the court, how can we function if Congress has the ability to back out of an appropriation and any number of commitments or contracts have been entered into relying on that budget? I mean, I've racked my brain for some memory of a legislative body with the powers of appropriation and try to find places where people repeal budgets. I think you go get money that might not have been spent in some special fund or something, or do the transfer, but on general operating budgets, I don't want to say, I do not want to say it's never done, but I think it's extraordinarily rare.
Okay, thank you.
And it does undermine and disrupt the function.
Congress of Shaw.
I think it is an extraordinary situation, and there's probably reasons why it's extraordinarily rare. I think the purpose of this committee, and presumably the Congress in considering such an action, is simply to be able to allow the executive branch and its operations to continue. I would think that if we did a calculation and there was 12% of the total appropriation, or some similar number, we know that those programs operated in the previous fiscal year, and again, I mentioned none came to a screeching halt or were defunded or couldn't operate, and that will be less in some instances in the previous than the submitted budgets. It's simply to allow us to get the information. If someone repealed budgets because they came upon a substantial amount of information that gave this Congress cause to make either a repeal or numerous budget modifications, I think that extraordinary situation is now.
Good words, Congressman. Congressman Supernov.
Assistant Chief, I'm wondering how far they went with this analysis. As so do you think the annual projected revenue, which is based on uncertain terms, is that some certain, or are we limited to just appropriating out of the $40 million, which is some certain, and the permanent fund? That's the only other some certain that we have. If you carry this to that extreme, did you go that far with it, or?
Assistant Chief.
No, sir. The comments made on the some certain subject by the Supreme Court had only to do with appropriations. The farther we get into this, you know, I've been here a long time, it's kind of hard to see that we don't eventually, somebody doesn't end up in court someday on the definition of projected revenue and what it entails. But even in the most conservative way of looking at this, the operating budget for our branch of government, including the health benefit, the barrel benefit, and the scholarship fund, all came in under projected revenue by about $500,000 by our count. I think that Mr. Potts agreed to that. It was an accounting problem created by definitions, but not to get off track. But to your question, some certain, as we're talking about it, our analysis is limited to the appropriation process and not necessarily to the definition of projected revenue in this particular case or on this particular bill.
Really, it seems to me it's the definition of some certain. I just don't see how I can hold one on appropriation and not on income. I'm carrying this to an illogical extreme, but that's kind of what it is, because 1/26 of the number is some certain upon definition.
Give a response.
I respect your opinion, Congressman, and I would agree that at some point in time, the Congress and the executive has to get together and agree, or the court has to tell us what the definition of projected revenue is. But I would not agree that a fraction of an annual expenditure is a sum certain when the sum is not in the bill. I'll go back to what I said right up front. The court clearly said an appropriation bill is a set of numbers and what it's going to be spent on. And it is not words. And that no substantive law can be included in an appropriation bill. That's what the Supreme Court said.
Assistant Chief, I see that you put much thought into this piece of legislation, ONCA 16101, is that the number? Yes. Put a lot of thought in it. You presented your points. My question to you is, reading through and coming through the bill, what's your understanding of why it exists? Why has 16101 been filed?
I'm not going to pretend to explain why any bill was filed that I did not help originate or have no, I know who sponsored it. I don't know who wrote it.
Really completely familiar with the context. You've broken it down into section 3A, section 3B1, section 3C, section 3D, section 3E. So, okay, let me rephrase that. After reviewing this bill and writing this real exhaustive objection to it, what's your understanding of why this bill has the words written on paper? What does it say to you?
I will leave that to the sponsor to explain, Madam Chair.
So you're completely clueless why the sponsor filed 16101.
I'm not clueless about anything. Well, I just don't think it's my place to take on the motive when the Constitution forbids it.
Well, I don't know if you take on the motive.
I think that's exactly
what I just want you to tell me what your understanding of it is.
I don't have an understanding of it.
Well, then you sure have given us an exhaustive report for no understanding of this legislation.
I have addressed.
Congressman Walker.
You mentioned earlier to the notion of passing out something similar, kind of a placekeeper, if you will, of an annual appropriation to continue operations of the government. You claimed that your legislative writer feels strongly that repealing appropriation bills is disallowed. That's not the term you used, but basically that.
Inadvisable,
okay. What about amending an appropriation bill?
I haven't given that an awful lot of thought, but generally speaking, most amendments are made as additions to figures unless there is some corresponding request from the executive branch to willingly move items from one program to another or from one division to another. I think you have an example on your plate right now that was read this morning.
Well, in this case, we're talking about in this case, it wouldn't be an addition, it would be a subtraction of the amount that was spent to date and then the subsequent addition to make up for what's needed for the rest of the fiscal year. That's not a repeal, that's an amendment to an appropriation bill. And that seems reasonable. We're just trying to make sure that we fund the government for next year. At least that's what I think that we're trying to do.
We share that goal, Congress.
Thoughts?
Do we want to do more discussion on 16101? Are we finished with this portion of discussion?
I think we're done. I think I'll put it on another agenda in the immediate future, at which time we may want an executive session just to discuss it with legal counsel, congressional legal counsel. I think we've probably gone as far as we can here in this setting.
I think you're probably right about this, but you know, we get a lot of Supreme Court language sent to us from the executive, and one that they like to send that was in the Supreme Court is about tribal officials and employees shall not hinder or obstruct the proper administration of the Osage Nation government and its administration of their duties. Our duty is to appropriate money. I feel very hindered to be able to do my job well. I think that's been the cry of several Congress members that I've seen. And now we're being told, hurry up and get it done with no information. It's like Pharaoh telling the slaves in Egypt to build bricks without straw. So that's kind of how I feel right now. I just had to put that on the record. So let's move forward on the agenda. I'll go ahead and give the chair back to Congressman Shaw.
Postpone ONCA 16-101 to the call of the chair.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
A motion and a second, all in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, we are postponing 16-101 to the call of the chair.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chairwoman. We have two more items on our agenda. We've got 12 minutes. We should end at 1:30 sharp. Allow education who has a subsequent meeting. I've moved it up to 12:30 to try to avoid concomitant meetings so that both committee meetings would have the clerk of the Congress available for the clerk for those meetings. Will be very important. But the sponsor was here, but
she asked for us to come get her when
the room. Okay. So what I have next is the 1697, an act to amend 15 ONC 1A101 to add definitions to promote uniform use, meaning an application to be used in all legislation, support documentation, budgeting, and spending.
She's on her way.
Okay. Congresswoman Edwards, we're on ONCA 1697. I'm aware that we've got limited time. I appreciate your coming from the back. My plan is to go right till 1:30 and adjourn immediately, making time for your meeting.
Okay.
So if you could present 1697.
ONCA 1697 is an act to amend 15 ONC 1-101A to add definitions to promote uniform use, meaning an application to be used in all legislation. We have a current bill that we separated out from another bill several years ago, and its purpose is to define the definitions that we use in the accounting terms we use and the legislation that we appropriate monies with, any legislation that refers to revenue or projected revenue or any kind of legislation that we have, so that we are all talking about the same thing when we talk about it. We've discovered over the years that people were utilizing terms in different ways. So the goal of this legislation several years ago was for us all to get on the same sheet of music. So when someone says, well, what does projected revenue mean? You look in the definition section and you see. Now, the Attorney General has stated, the Attorney General has looked at this and declared it constitutional, the last bill. I can't imagine how definitions could be unconstitutional, but be that as it may, we've gone through, I worked with the former treasurer back in the spring and in the fall, you know, continuously, to get to a point where we had this bill ready and it passed Congress and then it was pocket vetoed, I believe. So I'm back again. It does have some important distinctions in it. Namely, we've gotten into this discussion about booking indirect costs, and several of us have struggled with that concept because indirect costs, as I understand it, is an amount that the federal government pays as a match to allow you to spend funds out of a pool, if you will. So that if you've got an indirect cost pool that's 19.3% of certain items that you spend as a government, then you can utilize that 19.3%. The federal government will match with 19.3%, and you can utilize that money for certain services. However, it's still tribal revenue because it's tribal money that you're utilizing, and it's being matched by federal revenue. When we are doing projected revenue, we are showing the tribal revenue that we have from certain sources. the indirect cost revenue that comes in that we utilize, the indirect cost pool that we utilize for certain budgets is not a separate item. It's not separate revenue. It's part of the tribal revenue that we have. We utilize it to put it into the indirect cost pool, and then it's matched with federal revenue. But because of the, apparently the way that we are listing this information in our appropriation bills, sometimes it looks like we have either more revenue than we have, or it looks like we're spending those that revenue twice. So having not had the opportunity to talk with the new appointed, not yet confirmed, treasurer, I thought that we should get this back on, discuss with him any ideas he had about some of those definitions, clear up the definitions that we have, and then pass another bill. So, as I indicated, I haven't had an opportunity to talk to Mr. Alexander, thank you for coming, about some of these new terms and how we might solve some of the problems that I think you're seeing in appropriations. But rather than talk about it and have a gentleman's agreement about it or phone somebody up on the phone about it, we need to put it in the law so that we all work it. So when Kelly Corbin is at OFPR down the street and wants to know what's the definition of so-and-so, it's in the law, it's on the books. One of the suggestions from other CPA folks that we've discussed this with is that rather than showing your indirect, the money that you take and you pay into indirect costs as a new item of revenue, you show that as a reallocation of revenue up in your revenue sources. The other suggestion is that you don't show payouts from individual departments or from individual divisions. You don't show that individual payout as occupancy and as indirect costs. You keep track of that amount and you show that where it's coming in as revenue, and you, through some other agreement, I don't know what the federal government likes to see, but if the federal government, I think you do an agreement, what's it called, an indirect cost agreement? Anyway, you can set that out in that agreement. It just doesn't need to, it's, we've got it messed up in our budgets and in our bills, so we need to correct that. One other suggestion was that we simply take out of the out of projected revenue the word other sources. So we identify projected revenue as tribal revenue and non-tribal revenue, and do not make indirect costs as a funding source, because it's not outside of the tribal monies that we put in and the federal match. So,
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Has this bill already done this, or is this a work that you're wanting to do here at this committee table?
I think the bill says, doesn't it still say other sources? It still says other sources in projected revenue.
Okay.
So today I just thought we would hear from, I tried to set a meeting up with the treasurer this morning. He, you know, he's busy, but we desperately need him here. And so I thought maybe we could get some, he's never heard me talk about this until just now. And he may or may not know what we've been struggling with in terms of our internal appropriations bill and what it looks like and how we're trying to measure projected revenue versus spending. The other thing I will tell you that we probably need a definition for, and it's not, I don't know that it's in there based on our definition of projected revenue, is that at the end of every year, there's certain funds that are unexpended and they're unencumbered and they go back to the general treasury, and the idea is that they're available to be spent and appropriated again. if we're using projected revenue as the standard by which we have money to appropriate, then that money's not in there. If we're going to use some other figure that we utilize to know how much money we have to appropriate in a given year, then maybe we need to define another term, create another term, and define it, and then utilize that as the amount, if you will, that we have to appropriate. Does that make sense to you guys? What I'm saying, the dilemma is?
I understand what you're saying, yes.
Do you understand, Joe,
yes,
what I'm saying?
Let me just ask a couple of things here. The time's getting very ultra short. As far as terms and using different terms, I'm certainly okay with that. I know that we're trying to match terms used in the Constitution so we can compare apples to apples. There may be room for other definitions, but I know we're trying to use the definition of projected.
There is no definition of projected revenue.
No, but I mean that term is used.
Yes.
So if we're going to use it to compare against our spending, so
right,
we're supposed to spend more, we need to make sure that definition is clearly agreed upon by all. Do you have a definition for annual projected revenue in here? I know you got report.
Should be. Projected revenue should be defined in there, is it not? It used to be.
So it'd be listed in the P's, you think?
Yes.
Okay. Professional. Yes, projected revenue.
So my suggestion would be that we try to
same thing, it's in 1652.
Yeah, my suggestion would be we try to spend some time working with the treasurer behind the scenes a little bit, maybe. Just because I think it's going to take more time than a meeting time. But if we, you know, if we want to devote a whole meeting to this as well, I think that's great. But it's pretty imperative that we get it done because I think our budget analyst is struggling. He knows that I always say follow the law, follow the law, follow what the law says. And he's saying, well, I'm interpreting other to mean that I'm supposed to account for some other things. I don't think that the Treasury Department is doing it exactly that way when they show their budgeting. Yes?
Do we have... Sorry. I keep running me.
I thought you were asking me a question.
Go ahead. Proceed.
Thank you. Do we have a list of these terms, definitions that are being find one way by us, one way by him, so that we could see, is there a difference that we could...
I mean, I can name a few things. They call everything a program plan, and I keep saying the legislative branch is not a program, so we need to work on that.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Is there just a list of terms?
I can make one for you.
That we could see, and
that
all
we have a problem
so,
with.
But it is true that we're defining them one way, and they're defining maybe...
Well,
another way.
And we have a law that they should be utilizing.
Yeah. And I think I recall hearing Assistant Chief earlier say something to the fact that projected revenue, probably that definition will end up possibly in the Supreme Court to get a definition for that.
Well,
Wait and finish, Mr. Congressman Tillman. I'm sorry.
No, just to get a list of those terms and the definitions that are in question.
Okay,
Brazil.
That's how
low
we've gone.
Now
we can't figure out a definition.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it's necessarily that we use the term differently. It's what's included in the definition of the terms. So, tribal projected revenue, which is what we've always measured, from my interpretation of the law, it currently says including other sources. Other sources is defined as a funding source, as IDC, by ONCA 1485. So it's not that we disagree on the definition of terms, it's disagreeing on what the calculations are made of.
Okay.
So it's not clear.
And it was repaired in the last bill that got passed by the Congress that got pocket vetoed. So it's back again because it still has the same issue. And then I know another thing is they... In their financials, like for example, that we looked at yesterday, we have a health benefit fund, for example, and from that health benefit fund, you're allowed to take administrative expenses, the Medigap coverage, and the over 65 and the under 65s, and yet when we look at the financials, it was called health benefit card. That was the title at the top. So we don't know what that means. It has what they call a program number attached to it, which is, I guess, why we call everything a program. Some of this stuff, I think, just dates back from when, and I say this again, dates back from the old days when we had federal programs. And, you know, for 5 years, I got a check that said Osage Nation Federal Programs on it. I think we just need to get into the real world, move forward, have them look at some of their things that they're doing, and realize that it's not just the treasurer anymore that has responsibility over funds. It's the Congress that has responsibility to appropriate those funds, and we need to know and need to be on the same sheet of music as the Treasury Department in terms of what we're talking about.
Understood. Let me address you as the sponsor. We're at the end of our scheduled time. Would you like the treasurer to make a comment and just in general?
Sure, and then maybe a time that they're available to
yes,
meet. And
exactly. Mr. Alexander, could you come join us at the table here? And just all we're asking for at the end of this meeting is just any general comments about the subject of definitions that we're looking to redone. You could probably pull up a chair down there, would be
you
sufficient. Mr. Alexander, we're on audio here with these microphones hanging down, so that's why we're asking you to come up here so people are listening in, they can hear you speak. And so we were talking about this bill that Congresswoman Edwards has sponsored. It seeks to establish various accounting or financial definitions.
The 1697?
Yeah, the most important, that and all of them are important, but the most important has to do with our use and our inclusion of terms as to what makes up projected tribal revenue. That's what we've wrestled with the most. And do you have any comments regarding that?
I first apologize because I haven't had a chance to thoroughly review this. I have, I read it briefly last night. I saw some things in there that I had some questions about, and that's what I was doing just now. So I do have some comments. I think this is a step in the right direction for sure. I noticed that the bill amends another bill. And I haven't had the opportunity to get out the bill that's being amended. And that's what I would do if I were to thoroughly review this piece of legislation. But from what I can see so far, it's accurate. And the stuff that I have marked up, you can see right here, are just the blemishes that could be fixed. But if that's what the legislature wants to do to firm up some definitions, I think it's a very good idea.
I think what we want to end up with is some definitions, not just so because we want to refer to them henceforth in appropriation bills or projected revenue reports, as a useful tool rather than trying to develop an exhaustive and detailed definition that you might find in the textbook of accounting. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to match those definitions. Maybe they may provide useful guidelines.
That's what it looks like.
But you know, the language in the Constitution is pretty simple. Should not the annual, the, not your expenditures should not exceed your annual projected revenue, and you know I think the definition that's useful to satisfy the constitutional mandate is what's most useful for us. But we're obviously not wanting to miss revenue. We're not wanting to misclassify revenue. We don't want to include revenue that doesn't need to be included in that. We've had the term counted twice. Some pieces of revenue, and so that's what we're trying to write. A useful, even if it's not the most detailed, one that's useful and reasonably, if not entirely accurate, even if it doesn't meet the detail that might be in other forms of accounting.
I think another thing that you would want is you'd want it to be accurate. You'd want it to be to where if another financial professional looked at it, it made sense to him, and nothing just jumped out at him as glaringly incorrect. And that would be what I would want to do. I'd like an opportunity to go through this. And I'd also like an opportunity to look at the bill that it is amending to make those comparisons.
Okay.
And I'd be glad to help this committee.
Here's how I think we'll proceed, Mr. Alexander, is that I really feel the need to get a projected 2017 annual revenue by resolution from the Appropriations Committee out reasonably soon rather than the last week of Congress, because it's a target or amount we seek to keep as we process appropriation bills of any type, certainly the general appropriation bills for operation of government. And if it comes out just a lot later, we don't have that. our budget analyst typically prepares a, I'm not sure what you call that, Mr. Toss, the grid that has all the amounts in there, but if we don't have that, they're all agreed on what amounts are represented in there, we don't really know where they're all projected revenue. So I think that's the most pressing concern, and also so that executive agrees with our definition, so we don't get into this, that we think it's this, and perhaps executive treasurer or comptroller believes it's a different definition. I can't imagine a reason why we can't agree on it, because I think we all agree that the purpose is that we don't go into some sort of deficit spending. So we want to make sure that we're not doing deficit spending. So we will schedule a meeting in the near future. I will give you every advance notice. We appreciate your participation, and it should allow you some time to look at those documents, and you can coordinate that with the sponsor, Congresswoman Edwards. Ask the sponsor if you have any last comments, and we can entertain a motion to adjourn. Another question, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Just curious to know, when do we have another meeting, and kind of wanting to give him an advance notice to how quick of a study he needs to be, because what I think I heard you say is that projected revenue total, the new resolution that needs to come out, right, we really need to be following the same definition before we pass that out. So I was just kind of wanting to tack
so,
down.
So you're wanting to know how soon
we
I met.
Do this, yes.
Let's look at our calendar here. I believe there's one Wednesday and Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. That is the 14th and 15th.
The one for tomorrow has this on it. It's an identical.
Is one day sufficient enough for you to review those documents?
Agenda.
We have a meeting tomorrow. We've got a meeting on Thursday, I believe, as well. How much time would you need?
For these definitions,
yes,
or for the revenue you're talking about?
Well, revenue is...
I'd probably like to have until Friday, if you don't care. I'm going to be out of town on Thursday, I know, and I've got a lot of stuff stacked up on my desk.
What about Monday?
Yeah, Monday'd even be better.
Okay, Monday, our meeting's at 4 o'clock.
I want to make sure it's all right with Mr. Cobb, but his
sure
schedule accommodates
right
that.
Okay, all right. I appreciate you nailing that down.
Thank you.
Chair and Tanner, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Exactly. Time out.
But you have to postpone
thank
the bill
you
or not.
Understood.
Thank you. Sorry.
The chair and Tanner, motion to postpone or other action on this bill.
Move to postpone ONCA 1697 to the call of the chair.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to postpone 1697 to the call of the chairs. Any discussion? Seeing none, all opposed say yes.
All opposed?
I'm sorry.
I know. I was like,
no. We'll do it backwards. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, nay. Okay. All right.
What happens to the other bill that's on the agenda? Does it have to be postponed?
It'll have to be postponed. Well, does it have to be postponed?
It doesn't have to be. It'll be forward. It's already on the
it's
agenda.
It's on tomorrow.
Tomorrow's
agenda.
Well.
Okay.
Good point.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, motion made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
We're adjourned. Thank you.
5 minutes for your start. Okay.
What?
Education committee will start 5 minutes.
Oh boy. It's hard.
No, I just have to stay here for the year games, but I'm sorry. That's all I know. I'm frustrated.